If you want to go ahead and turn into the book of Ruth in the first chapter, we're going to go ahead and read in different spots in here, but I just want to share the very, what I want to call, exceptional thought that God had given me. It was something that, as I've said many of times and sound like a broken record, that I needed and God provided.
Amen.
I can't describe that to you, how that I've stood in need so often and felt such a yearning to get down and to pray. And then I'd pray and God would just share with me something that will remind me of how good that He is. And sometimes I can't get it out the way that it inspires me, but I hope that it's enough to get you to go home and read it. All that we can do is hope that we compel you enough to and keep you going. That's our job. Do enough to keep you going. Keep you revived. Keep you filled. It's not my job to do it for you. It's my job to get you inspired, on fire, that you get out there and do it and do the work. Hallelujah. We'll read in the third verse, first chapter, book of Ruth. We'll go ahead and get started. It says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years." To try to save us from doing 25 to 50 verses there, Naomi dwelt in Jerusalem and moved to Moab, took a husband, had two sons. And her husband died, and the sons had married, they dwelt, the sons had died, and so it was Naomi left with the daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. So as they were there, she encouraged the daughters-in-law to go, and as we read on in verse 16, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee." Ruth didn't want to leave Naomi, and I want to make a point on that, "or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Whether thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And Lord, do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." I passed through this book many times in my life, and I never heard very many people preach on this. Because during this time, when you read about the book of Ruth, it was during the time of the judges. So you find it very interesting to believe that you read of something, of a story of love in a time of wrath and judgment. And I found that when you read the words of Ruth and how that she was dedicated to somebody that she didn't even have to be obligated to, it makes me think of how that sometimes that I should have a longing in my heart for those that even if I feel like that I'm not obligated to go after them or to be with them, that even if they tell me that it's okay, that you don't have to go with me, that there should be a love inside of me to be able to say that I'll go where you go, that I care about your well-being. That there's something in me that longs that where you're going to go, I'm going to go. I will go where you go. I think about the church of today and how we have so many that we're concerned for, that we want God to move in their lives so greatly, and yet our love is so far out there, so far away, and yet we want God to do something great, and yet there was a dedicated love inside of her that said, even though that we're not technically tied to each other by blood or by any nature, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to go where you go, where you dwell. I'm going to
dwell with you. If you're going to go down to where the famine is, I'm going to go down with you to where the famine is. Guys, sometimes if we know that somebody is about to go down the wrong road, we need to say, if you're going down into sin, I'm not letting go of you. I'm here to let you know that I am one that believes in God, and my love is here for you, that if you're going to go dwell down there and die, then I'm going to die with you with my belief. Where's our love anymore? Well, I have love. Well, then I believe, I guess it's just not enough. But when we get to our love is of what? It's of the flesh. It's of as much as we can do in a day before we get tired and have to lay down and go to bed. I could sit here and make a list of at least 20 things that I should have done today. People I should have went to. And we all could do that if we really wanted to. But yet, because we're not tied to it, because it's not as important as other things, it doesn't matter. Well, it's my mother-in-law. Why would I have to go where she is? Apparently that didn't matter to Ruth. Let's read on. In chapter 2 and verse 9, and it says, well, before we start there, so she went with Naomi, and thus it brings in Boaz as well. Now, Boaz was a man of wealth, as it reads in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the family of Elimelech. And as you read in verse 9, she began to do work in Boaz's fields. She was out there in the barley working. And as you read on, he was wondering who that was. And so he finally gets in there and says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The part that stirs me is how she got down and asked, why have I found grace in your eyes? And when I think about that question, I think about that often with God. Why, Lord, have I found grace in your eyes? Why, Lord, am I able to get up every day in your grace? Lord. And then you read about the response, and he said, because of what you've done, you left your mother and father. You left the place that you once knew. And I think about my life before, and I think now that I walk in grace because I left my life of sin. I had to give up my life of sin. I had to come and ask God to be forgiven. When I read this book of Ruth, I not only see Ruth in it, I not only see Boaz in it, but I see Jesus Christ all through this book. When I read it, I say to myself, how do I find grace? Only through Jesus Christ. How do I find the ability to get up each day? It's because he set me free from the things that I was once bound to. I'm not in the land that I once lived in. I came out. I am a new creature. Oh, the ones that I used to know are behind me. The life I once knew is back before me. I walk now in the almighty favor of God, because of what I do for God. I walk in His Spirit because I seek for what God has in store for me. Why have I found grace? Why are we even here today? We're here because of His grace. I take advantage of it. Come in.
and not enjoy what God has appointed for me to enjoy? He brought me out of a land so full of sin and destruction, and yet I cannot enjoy the new land that I stand on. I stand upon deliverance. Somebody tap your feet. Your feet are upon deliverance. You walk in a new land that God has brought you to in your life. It doesn't feel any different. I don't think you realize tonight exactly where God has brought you to in your life. I don't think we understand exactly how far that God had to bring us out of that land of sin, that we're able to be a new creature in Him. Church, you're not realizing all the bondage that had to come off of you, that you're able to be in His grace. That love that should say, though you may be in bondage, though you may be in bondage, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. That Jesus said, I'll be with you all the way, even until the end. Isn't that what Ruth was saying? I'll go with you. And if where you lay, I'm going to lay. Where you die, I'm going to die. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, when you die, He dies with you. But guess where you go? To an eternal heavenly inheritance. Praise the Lord. I feel like we got a hold of some people now. Think about and consider, Lord, why is it that I walk in your grace? Brent, how is it that we're able to be free today? Do you think about the land that your feet is on, and yet we think that we walk in bondage? Don't you know that you're free today, that you're not in any chains? I do not see any chains here in this place, and your bonds are set on your own. And if you learn to walk by what God has given you to, you'll be able to walk with power. Praise God. Walk with power. Jesus was powerful. Not because He had to always go around with His brute strength. His love was powerful. But He had confidence. He realized who He was. He was the Son of God. You realize that as we are brought into this new land, that we are sons of God. Hallelujah. We can't go back out, as the word reads, and put on an old garment upon the new one that we put on when we were changed, when God saved us. I can't put on this old world and be out there doing any old thing. For when I do that, I lose my love and my concern for my brethren. I don't know if they're ever going to make it. Are we willing to go lay where they lay? No, I don't think so. Or we'd be there next to them, crying out for them. Well, they just tell me I was crazy if they heard me praying. Does that really matter to you when it comes to their needs? Does that really matter to you when it comes to their needs? I don't think it should. I don't think it should. When it comes to somebody on their deathbed, we tend to get past ourselves. But when somebody's addicted and still living, we tend to just put it off to the side. Oh, let somebody else go do it. That'll just go up and pray just a few words. But those that are set free with those demonic spirits, those things only come by the prayer and the fasting, power and authority, confidence in what you have inside of you. You feel like you're powerless? I have before. But I had to realize that the goods inside weren't enough to perform the work that was before me. I had to realize that, Jared, you need help. You can't do this on your own. The disciples that had picked people up, that had said things like, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And yet they couldn't do some things. You can be highly anointed, have a wonderful voice, but there are still some things that you need God to be greater in than your talent and ability. Hallelujah. Well, I love to sing, brother. Well, there comes a time where God has to be greater than the anointed ability to sing. Hallelujah. Well, I might get off key. So what? If it breaks the bondage and the chains and it lets somebody hear God's voice and lets them know, hey, this land you're standing in is going to bring you to destruction. It says broad is the way to destruction. There's all kinds of room for people that are on their way down with sin. They're making room. Nobody didn't say to me when I went up and started doing drugs, hey man, we don't have room for you to party. Go home. But yet when we come to church sometimes, you don't get enough support for two or three people to say, you're welcome. That to me is a shame when we can't get in the spirit of love and fellowship, and yet we could go out in this world and sin is welcoming everybody and their brother to come on in and join the fun. Come on now. The only way that people will ever feel drawn is by God's Spirit. The only way that God's Spirit will rub off from you to them is if that love of God is there. Come in with a bitter heart, you're not doing any good. Come in with an attitude, you're not doing any good. Come in with your reservations about how it's not going to be fruitful in church. It's not going to do any good. He said to enter in with thanksgiving. Enter in with thanksgiving. Enter in with thanksgiving. Enter in with thanksgiving. I don't think that comes with an attitude that will come with all my reservations or how bad that it's going to go. But it comes with my praises. It comes with my joy. It comes with all that God has done for me. Oh, that should make you want to shout tonight. Hallelujah. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine. I was feeling unworthy. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat the bread, and dip thy morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. What does that say to me? Hallelujah. When God is in control and you feel like that things are closing up around you, all it takes is to believe God for him to say, devil, reproach them not. Where's our faith to believe that God's able to put a border around you? Why would you open the door and be willing to listen to what Satan would have to say when he gives you the strength in your mind to say, I'm not listening today? Don't you know that? It's God saying, not today, Satan. When he gives you the ability to not welcome that spirit inside of you. That's not a spirit. That's just a thought. That's rubbish. That thought that tries to come into you at the beginning of the day is a spirit. It starts as a thought. But when it troubles you, then the one that glorifies God is hindered. Then the one that's able to praise God is silenced. And the one that wants to complain, call their brother about how I'm not getting paid enough, how they're working me too late, how my loved one don't care about me no more, how my family members don't help me like they should. It's a spirit. Get with me, church. Get with me, church, and devil, get on out of here. We're addressing the issues. It's a spirit. And when we choose to bring that in our house, then our temple has to undergo maintenance. Then you've got more work to do than just saying, I'm not having it today. Once you've opened the door, then you've got to run everything out.
Why don't we start at the beginning when we get up in the beginning of the day and say, I'm not listening to you. I'm not having it today. I'm getting up a blessed person. My mind shall be mine. My mind shall be with sanity. I'm not insane, but if you claim sanity, you'd be surprised what you'd obtain. You might just have a good day. I can't tell you how many times that people ruin their own lives because of just their mind. And I'm here to tell you, get out of your head, get down on your knees, and call out to God. Let Him change your life. Let Him restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Preachers are not therapists. If I'm going to hear about how your mind is bothered, I want money for it. You have the power and authority to get up and put that to flight in your life. Oh, glory. Well, glory. That's your job, brother. Well, if it is, I want $50 an hour at least. I'm making light of it because I want you to know you have the power. Don't you? Say, I have the power. I have the power. You have the power to tread upon serpents. And I'm not talking about ones that creep you out if they crawled up on you. I'm talking about those spirits that would trouble your mind. That would trouble your heart. Do you know what a serpent brings? Venom. Poison. Something to corrupt your spiritual man and woman. When we allow corruption, it defiles what God had intended for you to do. When you have something that's defiled, we come into church and we result in the very thing that we all dread. A service that's unfruitful, a service that's dry. Go out there and try to visit 5 or 10 others. They're all coming in defiled, not coming in the way that we should be, not coming in rebuking all the things that would try to corrupt. Sin's trying to come in and poison in the hearts and the minds of the people of God. And God is wanting us to come back. Get rid of the things that would hinder us from coming in with thanksgiving and get back to the basics. So that when I come in, I have a love that if somebody comes and crawls on the altar for an hour, that I'm willing to crawl for an hour. Amen. Brothers, it should only take 5 minutes if the Lord's in it. Somebody might have an hour of problems. You don't know their life. I know when I received my deliverance and that full-blown baptism, it was about 45 minutes. I'm glad somebody didn't give up in 5 minutes on me. Aren't you? When that love's there, we'll do whatever it takes, won't we, Danny? We'll reach out to everybody and say, I love you. I'm here for you. Wherever you go, I'm going with you. We're like a magnet. We'll get right in there with them and say, wherever you're going, I don't care. I'm going with you. That's the kind of love that it takes. As we begin to read on in Ruth, the part I want to get to, not get lost, is that Naomi had recommended that she go to the threshing floor of Boaz, and that when he go to sleep after he had ate and drank for the day, that she go in there and speak with him. And as he woke up, he talked to her and said, you know, just go on. I don't want this to be something that it's not. Amen. Right? I don't want this to be something that it's not. So they went on into the next day, and he called some elders to the gate. And that's where I want to get to, where we go back and read. There was another man that had a claim upon the marriage of her, upon Ruth, upon her estate. When I think about her estate, she was helpless. She couldn't change anything. And that's where we are with our problems sometimes. Lord, there's nothing I can do. God, I can't change anything about this. She was helpless, essentially. That's what she felt like. Couldn't get out of it. Even though she wanted something else, there was somebody, as he told her, that had a claim. But she wasn't helpless, was she? And if anybody in here knows God, you know that you're not helpless. We are not helpless. And if we are a church that has any God in the fiber of our being, we should be as Ruth is to say to our brothers and sisters, and be able to get them by the hand and say, you're not helpless, that you are not alone.
You see, as you begin to read on in here, in chapter 4 and verse 9, the other guy didn't want anything to do with this estate, and he renounced his part of it. He said, I can't do it. It'll mess up mine, my inheritance. So he went on. That's how the world is to me, my point of view. They'll turn you away. It's going to mess up my life. I partied with you enough, brother. Go on. You're going to mess up all my life. Go on. Your problems are too big for me. But it says, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amalek's and all that was Shilon's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place you are witnesses this day. When I read about that, it stirs me, and it reminds me of the price that Jesus Christ paid, the purchase that he made. You read over in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He paid a great price for you. Therefore, you are not helpless. You do not have to live life feeling like that you're in problems that you cannot change. You would be amazed what you could do with a prayer. You'd be amazed what you could do coming forward to God and giving him your heart and believing in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Oh, Jared, I've heard people say that all my life. I did too. We'll talk about something that we normally don't talk about. I did too. I grew up in church, so I had heard it certainly all my life. But it only became real when I finally had something I was helpless in. It finally became real when I was delivered and realized that it was something that changed in me I could not change. I realized that I could not bring myself out of hell. I couldn't do it. When I had finally heard the gospel preached for the first time and realized it, I realized that there was no good work that I could have done. That if I had gave every dime, done every good thing that I know to do, talked nice, lived nice, wore things that were nice, did everything I knew to do, attended church, did everything, but there was something I had to believe in. There was a commitment I had to make in my life. There was something that in my heart, it had to change. And when I allowed that change, my life has never been the same. Oh, glory to God. It has never been the same. And I give God the glory. He has brought me so far. Has he brought you so far? Hallelujah. Somebody shout with me tonight. Has he not brought you so far in your life? Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Last thing I want to read. It says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Amen. I never read the end of this. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. How amazing. We talk about David all the time, but just to think, in the middle of a time where people were facing such trouble, such persecution, that's something that a person would do in love what was right. I want to be a person that still lives by that standard in my life. Don't you? I want to do what is right in this day and age.
It's too expensive to do what's right. It's too time consuming to do what's right. I disagree with you. God will reward you. It might not be with a child, but it will bless your life. Little did she know, I'm sure, that the David that was coming up in that lineage would go to do such powerful things. And I don't know if I'll get to see things as magnificent as David did in his day. But I know that all the things that I do for God will not be in vain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That when you step out and do what God would have you to do, He will surely bless your life. That your family will be blessed. That your seed will be blessed. And not to give up on God. There might be famine. There might be sickness, but so what? Your estate might be down to the bottom, but so what? God is able to bring you through all things. Do not fear, do not be afraid. We are here to love you, to pray for you, that we go forward and not back.